I think of ghostwriting as acting in print. So when you're portraying a one-dimensional piece of dialogue, you have to create a believable three-dimensional character. And it's the same way with an author's voice. That's where the data science of stylometry comes into. We actually measure and look at what makes this author's voice unique.
Where do we start this? An answer doesn't matter. We're having a good time. Right.
He couldn't wait to get in here.
You need sales balls to make sales calls. I'm tweeting that puppy. Okay.
Diehards, every day, Joshua Lysak helps authors manifest the mission behind their voice.
Whoa.
Joshua is the world's only award-winning, celebrity recommended, number one, international best-selling certified professional ghostwriter.
That's a long sentence.
I know. But when you combine all those, you can be the only of all of those categories.
That's true.
Really damn good.
Yeah, that's true.
He's the founder of the Entrepreneurs Wordsmith LLC, Ohio's first certified professional ghostwriter, a multiple-time number one international best-selling ghostwriter, a Forbes contributor ghostwriter, a TEDx speaker, and a two-time published novelist.
Whoa. Please help us welcome the great Joshua Lysak.
We're so glad you're here.
Yeah, amazing. So I'm, as a writer, Jen is a writer, I'm always interested in how you can take the other person's ideas or concepts and put them into words. Did you start out doing that? When did you know you were a ghostwriter?
I started completely by accident. As you alluded to, I am a published novelist. That's actually how my journey began. It, like most people, it was on my bucket list to become a published author one day, and I did so at the ripe old age of 20. I had a two-book deal, and so I proceeded to go about marketing my adventure, action, thriller novels. Basically, I described them as Indiana Jones for millennials.
Yeah, but no offense to look at you. You look like you only started 2 years ago. You have a very young kind of face.
Well, that's a good thing.
Yeah. But you must be 30, right? Are you 30 yet?
I'm close to 30.
I got it. Like 23.
So wait. How did you get a book deal at 20?
Yeah.
As you would say, my novels were damn good.
Cool. That's cool.
Yes, I was homeschooled, and so the expectations for homeschooled kids is significantly higher than our counterparts. And yeah. So if I didn't have a book deal by 20, it's like, what are you doing with your life, kid?
And so, right. So were you homeschooled in Ohio?
I was, yes. Preschool through high school.
Okay. So you get this book deal, you write these books, and then what?
Yes. So at that time, I had started a freelance B2B writing business working with everything from the latest, greatest e-commerce startup to the plumber down the street, everything from their search engine optimized blogs to product descriptions, LinkedIn profiles, everything. And so as I am promoting these books, a couple of my freelance writing clients, they come to me and they say, Joshua, so you didn't know this, but we actually heard about your books. We checked them out, read them. It was past midnight and I'm 60 pages in. I'm not quite sure how you did that because I don't normally read novels. They said, can you help me do this with my book?
Ooh.
And I said, what are you talking about? You want to write fiction? Like, what is that even a thing? And they said, no, I want to share my life story, my experiences in this industry, growing up, my trials and tribulations, how I overcame those challenges. And like a real idiot, I said, nope, can't help you. I'm my own guy. I'm an author for me, right?
The artistic integrity and a pipe up your ass.
And a pipe up your ass.
Well, he was 20.
No, he was a Gentile who didn't know how to get money.
He was 20. All right, keep going. I love this.
Yes, yes. And so eventually I wisened up and I said, you know what? You pursue me long enough. Fine, I'll help you. I don't know what a profession is that where you get paid to write someone else's book for them. I didn't know that the word ghostwriter was a thing. I thought it was just a misnomer of Ghost Rider, the Marvel character.
Oh, cool. Apparently. Yeah.
So anyway, I said, yes, fine, sure, I'll help you with your book. And I've been saying, yes, fine, sure, I'll help you with your book ever since.
That's totally cool.
Wow, that's amazing.
So a decade? Almost a decade?
8 years. Eight years ago.
Okay, and tell me about the one that was the best one you've done.
Are we allowed to know who you've written for?
About 80% of my books are We have some sort of a confidentiality or non-disclosure agreement, but there are some who are like, screw it, I don't care. I want to tell the world that you wrote with me. So I've written for your A-list like, celebrities, well-known CEOs down to.
So like the confidential ones, what does it rhyme with?
No, the non-confidential ones, like anyone we would know?
Yes, actually. There's a few people, one of whom is one of Europe's newest billionaires. Actually, two of them, Gunter Schmidt and Michael Ambrose, who are very, very successful in the real estate technology prop tech scene, as well as authentic reviews and ratings. I've ghostwritten content for both of them.
Cool.
But when it comes to a specific book project that I'd like to mention, there's a couple of them. There's a quote attributed to J. Conrad Levinson, the guerrilla marketing
character. I know he is. The guerrilla marketing guy.
That's right. That's right. And the quote goes something like this. This is Jay speaking at the time. He said, when people ask me how much my guerrilla marketing book made me, I always tell them $10 million. Royalties only paid about $30,000. But the spin-off books, products, programs, speaking, consulting, and coaching accounted for the remaining $9.9 million. That's the mindset that I have with every project that I take on. As I say, how can we turn these 5 loaves and 2 fish, these 300 pages, into a miraculous profitable return on investment for the author? There's one particular author. He jumped out of our confidentiality agreement of his own volition. He sent me in about a two and a half minute testimonial video. He said, hey, Joshua, publish this and put this on blast in your brand. And it shares a story of how he made $1 million in 12 months directly from his book. And he said, without Joshua and without this book, this revenue would have not come to be. So Of course I publish and promote that and send that to every author that
so
I
how do you to. How do you go after getting business
using a book?
No, how do you personally build your business? Like how do you bring on new clients?
Sure. Well, there's a couple of different ways, one of which is the good old-fashioned referral, because when person A finds out that person B, their friend, has a book coming out, they say, oh, how'd you do it? I've been trying to write mine for 30 years. I can't get past chapter one.
Yep.
Just typing chapter one, because I have everything to say, yet I'm not sure what to type first. How did you do it? Oh, my secret is this guy, Joshua Lysak, over here. That's about half of my business is that. The other half is through activities such as this, where I share about the wonderful world of ghostwriting. And of course, I post a lot on YouTube and on my blog. I get quite a few folks every week reaching out, say, hey, I found you on YouTube. Apparently, you're the guy who writes books.
I love that.
Apparently, the only question is, can they afford you, correct?
Yes, yes. I as you can imagine, I run quite the gamut of pricing, everything from the six-figure deals on down to kind of a done-with-you plan, where maybe they have professional writing experience, they have that communication acumen, and it's kind of a done-with-you thing where I coach them through the process. And that's a lot more budget-friendly to your people who are in the 8-to-5 or are in startup mode.
Yeah. I ask people, how many of you want to write a book in my audiences? They'll all raise their hand. And I say, well, keep your hand up if your first chapter's written. And every hand goes down. Every hand goes down.
So I feel like we have a lot of diehards who are listening right now who want to write a book.
Oh, yeah.
Where do you recommend, let's say they want to try to do it on their own, where do you recommend they start?
Yes, I will give you an answer that no one has ever heard before. Actually, that's not true. If you've read me or seen my stuff in the past, you would know the answer. For Founder Magazine, I wrote the ultimate answer to this question, which is, where do you start your book? The answer is not Google Docs or Microsoft Word. The answer is in the reviews of Amazon, Barnes & Noble, for example, Goodreads. Look at the books that are in your book category. What are your future readers saying about them? Two specific questions you want to look for. Number one, where does the author overpromise and underdeliver? Basically, where do they use your salesmanship?
Right, exactly.
Where do they use their sales tactics? They sell us like, oh man, I was really hoping that they would deliver on A, B, and C.
Yeah, but they didn't. Yeah, this book fell short of the mark. I've even had a couple of those reviews by myself. I
what?
Can't stand them. But listen, everyone's a critic.
Yeah.
But the old saying is, no statue was ever erected to a critic, but the people they've criticized, many statues have gone up. If you go to the Eiffel Tower, he had 300 critics that wanted the Eiffel Tower torn down at point of construction. and there's only one statue there. It's of Gustav Eiffel. So,
okay, so you go to the reviews areas of your book, or like
a book in your genre,
and you find out Oliver. What else do you do?
Yes, well, you do not look at the one-star reviews of those critics, because they are critics, they are haters, and it's also possible, I know this from working with reputation management executives, that they are fake reviews paid for by competitors, competing authors.
Horrible. Ew, that's terrible.
I know.
Yes, yes. I think there was been a few stories in Time and the New York Times about that exact phenomenon of putting on your competitors. But then the five-star reviews, that's usually by the fans and the
right,
people
the diehards.
Look at the threes and the fours.
Yes, look at the twos, three, and the fours, because those tend to be more thoughtful and more fair.
Yeah.
Those will be the things like, hey, I felt really motivated by reading this book. But just take a simple example of digital marketing, right? Oh, I bought the digital marketing book because there was this spiel on the back about learning how to write effective persuasive copy. I bought the book in order to learn this, and there was only one paragraph in the entire book on how to write effective persuasive copy.
Gotcha.
Three-star review.
Yeah.
So, that's an interesting anecdote. Perhaps you read a few more of these neutral reviews.
Yeah.
And you find a handful or more that say the same thing. This book promised lessons on how to write effective persuasive copy, templates even, and all I got was a lousy paragraph. Put that on a t-shirt. So you'll see that sort of feedback. You'll also see people say things like, this book is nothing but a rehashed Brendan Burchard, or pick your guru, your expert, right? And it seems like you're saying what's already been said before. So those are the two things you want to look at, is go look to the best-selling, the new releases, the perennial titles in your book category. What are people saying? Specifically, where are the future readers that you're going to be writing for? How do they feel the previous authors have overpromised and underdelivered, or they've overdelivered on something other people have already promised and delivered on? Those are your openings into what your book idea can be, the premise, even down to what specific topics you should write about.
What did you talk about in your TEDx speech?
What did I talk about in my TEDx speech? I talked about how to create your dream job from scratch.
Oh, wow. Nothing about ghostwriting?
Oh, that is my dream job, actually.
Oh, cool. So you combined those two things.
That's right. It was my journey as kind of an everyday millennial who gets out into the world after college and is like, wow, all the boomers promised us did not come to pass. There are not, a stable 40-year job with a pension lined up.
Yeah.
Who knew?
Yeah. Where's your gold watch? The title of your book would be great. No Gold Watch, A Book for Millennials. It's like the reality trip of what's going to happen at the end of that 40 years. Like, dude, there's no gold watch unless you fucking buy it.
That's right. You have to create your dream job from scratch first.
Yeah.
That's totally cool.
Okay, so you look at the reviews, and then what?
Yes. So then what you'll want to do is now you really narrow down all the things that you could write about. And in the Ultimate Guide for Founder magazine, I describe using a simple tool called it's called MindMeister. Simple mind map, free online mind map that you can get. Basically, what is your topic or your industry that you would naturally be writing a book about? You don't have to have title down. Just put that right in the circle of your little mind map. And with the spokes out from that hub, these are the topics that you could possibly write about. So just kind of blue sky brainstorm this guy. Just put down everything in that little mind map there. So then what you have is you have this mind map of all the potential topics you could write about. And you have now this feedback from your future readers, what they want, what they don't want from the future book that they read. And in order to create this overlap, you compare lists. Is there a topic that people are saying, I bought this book to learn X and they didn't cover it, and you don't have that in your outline? Oh, wow, I hadn't thought about that. So now it goes into your mind map.
I love that.
So have you read the Tony Buzan book, the mind mapping book?
I have not, no.
It's pretty good. We used to do mind maps all the time, and for some reason I got away from them. I can't explain why, but just we don't do it anymore.
Are you mind mapping now?
No, but I wrote a note to myself to reread the book and give it to the staff to be able to get them to mind map a little bit more about what can happen. Because I have some, you know, all those pads that I have that I save?
Yeah.
You know, there are tons of mind maps on them.
Oh, that's cool.
Tons of them.
That's
cool. I mind mapped the first book. I mind mapped how to make a sale. I mind mapped everything. I'll tell you what, just so we understand each other, I read in 1991, maybe, I read Harvey McKay's Swim with the Sharks. 2 pages on everything. Sold 1 million copies. And I said, that's exactly how I want to write. And that's what actually inspired me to start, because I knew I could make a point in 750 words. You're the writer, they're the author, just so we're clear on that. Do your authors have any kind of a concept of how the thing should be written, or do they just only know what they want to write about? Everybody, including you, including me, needs a little help, even if you have trouble admitting it. You know, it doesn't matter how long you've been in sales. The more you learn, the more you earn. It's just that simple. And if your sales needs help, it may be time to consider the Gittimer Learning Academy. It's the fun and easy and gamified way to brush up on sales fundamentals and learn some new advanced strategies to close the next deal. You know, sales, closing, that's what it's all about. Or creating the atmosphere where the other person wants to buy. We have hundreds of hours of lessons on closing, referrals, prospecting, you name it. You won't find a more comprehensive library of sales knowledge anywhere on the planet that you can actually use 1 minute after you learn it. Go to GittimerLearningAcademy.com today and sign up for a free demo. I love free, and so will you.
Sometimes it's both. And in some cases, they don't want to write a book. They tell me, Josh, I don't want to write a book, but I have had my clients, colleagues, friends, family for 50 years telling me I need to write a book. And it's time, gosh, and I'm going to do this. And so they have a general idea. I'm going to tell my story, maybe. So how do we do this? So they're starting with very little understanding of how to structure a book. What goes where? How do you open a chapter, for example? Yeah. Where does the adverb go?
Yeah. If they don't, they go in the trash can. But that's just my opinion. I could be wrong. Do you tell people that people may not be interested in their story, or do you just write it for whatever?
It depends. I have turned some people away and said it doesn't seem like it's really time for your business. It's basically your book idea could be the length of a tweet.
Right.
Substance is there.
Since they doubled Twitter, you could probably get the whole thing in there. Do you work with publishers as well as writers?
I have, yes. I've taken some authors down the traditional publishing path before, yes.
No, I mean, did the publisher call you and say, hey, I got a great story here, but the guy can't write a fucking word?
No, but I've had people who work at a company say that to me about their founder or their CEO. This person needs to have a book. There's massive demand inside this organization, but they can't write. I mean, they said, hey, let's write a book. And I told them that 10 years ago, and we haven't seen any progress on that yet. We need a professional to come in here and make it happen.
So when I was
21.
Reading Jeffrey's books, I always felt like he was sitting there talking to me because I knew him well, and we did talk, and then I was reading his books, and I literally felt like he was there, you know? And so when I wrote my book, I was like, I want other people to feel like I'm talking to them, like we're just sitting down and having a conversation. And so I got that inspiration. Like, you got it from Harvey McKay. Mm-hmm. I got it from you. But I think that really when someone publishes a book, their voice needs to be captured. And so if it's not their voice, because you're the one writing it, how do you make it seem and sound authentic when... I don't,
when you're not the authentic person.
Yeah, when it's their thing, but so I'm like stuck there. Like, how do you do it?
Yes, that's a good point, because several of the authors that I've worked with in the past couple of years alone, I wasn't the first ghostwriter they spoke to. they had worked on a chapter or two with the previous ghostwriter. They came to me and said, Joshua, this person keeps editing out my voice. I can't use this. I mean, it's spelling error free. Don't get me wrong. It's readable. But everybody knows it's not me. It doesn't feel like me. My objective with the authors is for them to feel like that they can't even tell they work with the ghostwriter themselves.
How do you do that?
Ghostwriting is both an art and a science. I have some professional acting experience in both.
I could tell by your hair. I could tell by your
a little bit of improv, a little bit of scripted shenanigans.
Yeah.
But I think of ghostwriting as acting in print. So when you're portraying a one-dimensional piece of dialogue, you have to create a believable three-dimensional character. And it's the same way with an author's voice. That's where the data science of stylometry comes into. We actually measure and look at what makes this author's voice unique. For example, what's the ratio of passive to active voice? What's their reading level that they typically write at? Where do they put the preposition in the sentence? Do they like to start sentences with prepositions? Or are 90%+ of them in the end of a sentence? What about adverbs? Do they have favorite adverbs they use? We study all of this stuff so that I can actually ghostwrite in the voice so it not just doesn't feel like them, but it actually is their voice on the page.
Stylometry? I don't think I've ever heard that word.
Yeah, I totally love that. But
I'm going to use it later today in a sentence.
And clearly, there's a difference between fiction and nonfiction. To me, nonfiction is adverb-free. There's nothing about the
but
greatest.
But that's your style.
Well,
there are
my
other people who love adverbs.
Right, and you can't read their shit.
Well?
Because it's too verbose. It doesn't get to the point. And when you're reading nonfiction, you want the point. Like, what's the point? I'm reading this. What's the point? And I don't need it to be very or the greatest or any of the expletives that are you know, the EST adverbs. I just want to know what to do. And actually what I found, and this was coached to me by an editor, your words become more powerful without the adverb.
Correct. And when you take the adverb out and you look at that verb and see, and you say to yourself, now I don't know what I meant. Well, that tells you that you need a different verb. You need to empower it. It's not very good. It wasn't very fast. He didn't run quickly. Okay. So let's describe what actually happened here. So that often comes up in conversation.
Ran with the speed of light. Okay. So I get it. And that's a brilliant deduction.
Literally
brilliant deduction. How did your novels do?
They did well enough that they were, I considered them a side hustle at the time, actually.
Oh my God.
Paying some bills. Yeah, you got the millennial speak in here. Helping pay some bills. They were good enough. I was going to write a third and fourth one. But then these opportunities that come along where the payment is front loaded, like, hey, I'll actually pay you to help me write my book before it's even done. Like, oh, wow, that's awesome. I think I'll help you with that.
Okay, so in your introduction, I read that you're a certified professional ghostwriter and that you are Ohio's first. What is a certified professional ghostwriter?
Like, and who's the second? I want to know who the second one was.
How do you get certified and how do you become the first?
Yeah.
Yes, yes. To my knowledge, there is not a second one.
So you're the only.
There's got to be certified ghostwriters. And what he's saying is the first one from Ohio.
Well, where does this even come from? Like, is there a national certification system?
Pretty close. In the entire world, there was only one academically sponsored, AKA university ghostwriting program. And it's out of California State University, Long Beach, as actually part of their College of Continuing Professional Learning, actually this ghostwriting certification. It's the theory of ghostwriting. It's the art of ghostwriting. It's also the business of publishing. How do you help people get book deals? How do you negotiate, help them negotiate with via their agent for the amount? How do you make sure that they get a return on their investment? All those things are part of that program over there at Cal State. Around the time that I went through it, there were somewhere between only like 50 and 100 people who completed the program. So even worldwide, there's not that many, but it's basically the pinnacle of the profession is a certified ghostwriter who completed that program.
Wow. And do you have the certificate up on your wall someplace?
Oh, you know I do. And on my Instagram. And
that's totally cool. That is totally cool.
I love that.
And so this is a thinker question. How does a ghostwriter entitle differentiate from a writer? Like, I'm a writer.
Yes.
Well, no, I'm a ghostwriter. What's the difference?
Yes. So a writer is one who, if we're speaking as a professional writer, someone who has competent mastery of the English language so that when you read what they're saying, you understand what they meant.
Right. Agreed.
Simple definition.
Yeah.
I like that.
When you're a ghostwriter, your objective is not just to have sufficient mastery of the language of your client, but you have to understand what they mean by what it is that they're saying. So I think of ghostwriting also as hearing between the lines, because when I'm talking to one of my clients and we're trying to get something down, and I'll often ask them follow-up questions, like, hey, what did you mean by this? When you say this, what are you seeing inside of your head? Tell me about a time when you actually did this for a client. And it's those follow-up questions that actually reveals the meaning behind what they state. We go from very good, very fast, to a story that exemplifies what they actually mean.
That's cool.
It's way cool. Very well said. Thank you.
Sure thing.
What's your process for writing a book after you mind map it out? How do you, how long will a 300-page book take to create for you? And do you have things you do that could be considered like hacks or shortcuts to make it happen faster?
Yes, yes. So we have a few different timelines that authors will follow. The shortest turnaround for a book was about 6 weeks. That requires very little sleep on my part, so I prefer not to do that timeline. But the usual is sometime between five and six months. I don't have a lot of content. I want to write a book. How do we do this? To the third and final draft of this manuscript is done and ready to go. In terms of hacks, always do the outline first. And that's what this process of the mind map and then vetting your ideas according to your future readers' verified neutral feedback on other books in your category helps inform what it is you should talk about and what you shouldn't talk about. So now you actually have the makings of a winning book idea. And then a real simple template. I love this template. I got this from an editor at Harper One. It goes like this. Nonfiction book template, winning book template. Start with the story. This is a chapter. Start your chapter with the story. It can be your story, client story, the backstory of a news piece that a lot of people have heard of. It could be literally history. So what's the history that goes into this here? You go from the story to the point. You don't just tell the story, get off the page and say, okay, now on to something different. Now for something completely different, right?
Yeah.
But what's the point of the story? Just get to that, get to the point. If you are Robert Greene, let's say it takes you 35 pages to get there, but you do get there in one of your chapters. And then from the point, you transition to what it is that you're teaching. Is it a theory, framework, steps, technique, tip, tactic, template, script? And then once you do the teaching of your topic or the step, now you get to the practical how-to. What can people do to implement this, apply this to their own lives? And this looks different if it's health and wellness or self-help spirituality or how to fix your car.
Have you read any of my stuff?
I have.
Okay. So you know that I'm pretty, my how-to is in every page.
Yes.
I don't beat around the, that's found on page 100. No, it's found
but
on page.
I think you naturally do this on every page. You have a story, you have a point, you transition to what you're teaching and you give the how-to.
Right. Reason behind the how-to.
Yeah. I think that's a great framework for anyone who's trying to write something. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, totally.
Sure thing.
It's
fundamental, and it's okay to kind of deviate from the fundamentals as long as you have mastery and know why you're doing it.
Yeah.
I've actually started with a title or a topic. Maybe it's not the final title, but certainly a topic. And then penciled a table of contents so that I have the feeling for what do I really want to say inside this book. Now, I am a seasoned writer. I've been doing it for 25 years. I've written 16 books, and three more are in process. So I'll have 20 books by the time I'm 100 years old. but most people don't understand how to write. They don't understand. Well, sometimes I have writer's block. Well, if you write like you talk, you never have talker's block. Therefore, stop writing and start talking. So that's number one. But do you type or do you voice to text?
It depends on what it is. I record every conversation with an author, even though maybe 90% of it is kind of filler, and it's the 10% that we really want to play with. Because most people, when we're in speculative territory thinking about what you want to say, we think out loud. And so it's not so much talker's block, it's more like talker's smorgasbord. And we don't necessarily want to take everything that's on the buffet.
You talk out loud to clarify your own points and affirm them in your mind. Like, this is what I want to say. And like, you go, oh yeah, that's what I really want to say. And if you haven't recorded it, you're screwed. Because it
that's
goes,
right.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. But I'm talking about in the writing process, when you're actually putting a chapter together, do you use voice to text or do you type?
When I'm actually working on the chapter directly, yes. I do type it out. But when we're getting clarification back and forth, I have clients who are in Germany, South Africa, Dubai, Australia,
wow.
And in those different time zones, yeah. Everybody likes to use WhatsApp. And so we'll WhatsApp back and forth. And so either I'm literally recording myself or I'm doing the speech to text. And I'll be like, so when you said this in our conversation, did you mean, and then I'll reword what they said using their own words in their own style, but making the stronger point. You know, if we cut away the fluff, we have this core idea that you shared today. And if I were to run with it based on how I know your experience and what it is that you stand for, is this what you wanted to say? 9 times out of 10, oh my God, Josh, that's exactly it. Put that in the book.
That's brilliant. I love it. So, Joshua, where can people find out more about you? How do they?
Yeah, I want to take
like
notes.
You're like a ghost.
Hold on. I want to know where to find you.
A couple of different places, actually. If you're the aspiring author, if you're one of the people in Jeffrey's audience who raised your hand, do I want to write a book? Do you have chapter one done? You took it down? Head on over to entrepreneurswordsmith.com. Entrepreneur is plural, and word and smith are, well, word and smith. No funky spelling there. If you are an aspiring ghostwriter, if you want to become the second certified ghostwriter in Ohio, or at least you like this idea of going like I did from poorly paid freelance writer to the premium high-end
right.
certified ghostwriter, you can head on down to ghostwriteandprosper.com. It's a training program and mastermind I have for the next big money ghostwriters of our generation.
All right. This is awesome. Joshua, thank you for joining us today.
Yeah, totally.
It's been awesome.
Totally.
Absolutely. It's been dandy to be here with you today.
All right. Take care. Bye.
Sure thing.
Another fantastic episode of Sell or Die is now in the books.
Let's let the listener be the judge of that.
You can be. Subscribe. Rate and review our show today. In fact, right now.
Or if that sounds too complicated, tell a friend.
Tell both your friends.
Because if you're not selling,
you're dying.
We're leaving.
Au revoir.
Shalom.